needs of simplified living. We've had some amazing talks along the way about things from having satisfaction in your work to thinking about things in the past that we can deal with. And I think also, like what we're going to look at today, really ties into what Joe was talking about last week with the story of Jesus asking Peter to give him his boat. And I think being organised, hopefully, is a way that we could actually make that a practical thing, that we're giving Jesus our boat with the way that we're using our time as well. So, yeah, we'll see how we get on together being organised this morning. When Matt came up to me and was like, Dave and I have been thinking, you're very organised. I was like, oh, that's quite a nice compliment. But then I have to actually sit down and write a talk about being organised, which was interesting. So I'll be quite short and sweet, but I've got some help in the musical talents of Paul Bell as well along the way this morning, so that'll be good. So like the world that we live in is just crazy. It's so full of demands on our time. Like every single day there's different jobs we've got to do, places we've got to be, deadlines to meet. It can feel so chaotic. And like if you go on the internet, there's so many different suggestions of how to get organized. You get like the top five tips of the most effective people, or daily routines of how to be amazing with your time. And it's all a bit mind-boggling, really. But feel free to Google it if you want to. But there's a couple of examples of famous people who had quite strange schedules that we can take a look at. So Winston Churchill was quite an interesting character. So he would stay up till about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe. Go to bed, sleep till about 7, and then stay in bed with all of his like advisors around him till about midday, just working in bed, which I thought was quite a strange morning routine. Then there's Leonardo da Vinci, who used to take 2-hour naps so that he wouldn't have to go to sleep for 8 hours at night, because he thought that was a waste of time. So again, an alternative schedule you might want to follow, I don't know. And then there's Thomas Edison, who was a big believer in 20-minute power naps as well. I mean, personally, I've tried having a power nap and I just kind of lay there and thought about what I was going to eat for tea, so it didn't work very well. But it might work for you. And I guess that's the thing with looking at calendars and schedules. We're all different. We all work in different ways. We've got a couple more examples. I wanted to find an example of like an inspirational woman, because I was like, there's lots of men on here, so try and find some women. But I could only find Kim Kardashian and Oprah Winfrey, which is a bit disappointing. We're not quite like the Mary Seacole or Marie Curie I was looking for, but there we go. That was quite funny. I think is important to think about this morning is how we kind of work individually as well. So I tend to be somebody who kind of sees the deadlines all in one go. So they might even be a month away, but I'll just see this pile of work that needs to be done, and that can get me a bit stressed out. Whereas other people are a bit more last minute, kind of work up to the deadline. So I guess it's just recognising how we work and what way works best for us. It was really interesting looking at Bill Hybels' book, Simplify, because he poses some questions that flips it all on its head. So there's a quote here. Your calendar is more than merely an organiser for what needs to get done. It's the primary tool for helping you become who you want to become. I thought that was so powerful, because it takes that normal way of filling in a diary or a calendar that I certainly kind of revert to, of putting in all the jobs or where you need to be, meetings and things, but actually taking a step back and thinking, who do we want to become? Who does God want us to become? And thinking about what Joe said last week, you know, how do we give God our boat? What is he asking of us that we can use our time for in that way? So Bill Hybels takes a verse from Ephesians 5, and I had a little look back at the whole chapter. So here Paul is giving some advice to the church in Ephesus. And Ephesians 5 starts off talking about being imitators of God as beloved children and walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, and walking as children of light. And I think, like, seeing that context of being called to imitate God, it's so encouraging, but quite a massive challenge as well. And then later on in chapter 5, Paul says to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. And then in the NIV, they talk about making the most of every opportunity. So I think, you know, there's quite a lot to think about, really, when it's not just a calendar. It's, you know, how do we imitate Christ? How do we walk as children of light? So we're making the most of every opportunity and not wasting time. Bill Hybels goes on to talk about a really big question, like a $1 million question, that his mentor asked him when he was quite young. And that was, how would you spend your time if God were in charge of it? That's quite a big, chunky question. So I'm going to get Paul Bell, please, to come up and play a song that he's conveniently got that links perfectly with this topic.
Yes, this is a song about organising your diary. It's not quite. But, I really wrote this song about just knowing what's the most important thing, and priorities are so key, aren't they? In terms of knowing what really matters and what doesn't actually, in the grand scheme of things, matter a whole lot. So this is called What Matters in Time.
When you are hurting, keep your heart soft. Back for me. you'll learn. I hope you'll feel. Don't settle for anything that isn't real. And I hope you won't waste any more time chasing the smokescreen that never could satisfy. And I hope that you'll find out what matters in time. Grace for every day, you don't have to make it alone. I just want to see you be all you can be. So I hope you'll laugh, I hope you'll cry, I hope you'll fail and come back for another try. I hope you'll love, I hope you'll feel. Settle for anything that isn't real. I hope you won't waste any more time chasing the smokescreen that never could satisfy. And I hope that you'll find out what matters in time.
Thank you very much, Paul. Matt was like, you should mention it's on the new album, so a little plug there. They're for sale on the side. yeah, so that was great. And I think it ties in really well that with that idea of using our calendars as a tool for who we want to become and these priorities like Paul was thinking about. So thank you very much. Paul has just shown a great way of stepping back to get that perspective, I think, on how we use our time. Bill Hybels gives us a few pointers that we could use as a new way of practically filling in our calendar. So he starts off by asking, who do you want to become in the next season of your life? So instead of having that idea of, oh, I've got this much stuff to fit in this week or in the next month, instead of being focused on the tasks, kind of thinking, you know, who does God want us to become? And maybe how can we change the way we use our time to make the most of every opportunity? So this is a question that I found really interesting because so often it's just about a case of fitting in all the jobs you've got to do. And I kind of used to be quite prone to saying yes to everything. If anyone asked me to do something, I'd be like, oh, yes, yes, I'll do that. But kind of got to the point where I couldn't actually fit everything in and became quite bogged down with everything. And so I think something that was really pertinent for me in that question was, you know, God's more interested in like who we are as people, and it's great to serve him and do lots of things, but not necessarily saying yes to everything just because someone's asked you to do it. So I found that quite freeing, and hopefully I'm a little bit better at not always saying yes now. the next thing that Bill Hybels talks about is having time to connect with God. So he gives the example of Jesus, who on the Sabbath would go to the temple, and that Jesus is like putting that time aside as well. And there's a quote here, if you want more of God's direction and purpose in your life, you need to adopt the same weekly rhythm that Jesus practiced. Church is on his calendar. So I guess it's not only, you know, coming along to church on a Sunday morning and connecting with the life group, but also in our day-to-day lives as well. And we've got a clip to watch now that I think Matt showed us a while ago called Where Is Your Chair? I think it would be good to look at again. So it's Bill Hybels who's written the Simplify book that these talks are based on, who will be in the video.
advertising executive came down to talk to me after a service, and he had just become a Christian. I had baptized him at the church, and so, and he said, I just can't make time for a meeting with God. He said, you have no idea what it's like to commute downtown every day, and you live in a different world. I just can't fit that kind of thing into my life. And I remember looking at this young guy, hard-charging young guy, and I said, here's my experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm only like 24 years old, so there it is. I said, I've always been able to make time for stuff I value. Just how my life works. If I value something, I'll make time to experience it. If I don't, I won't. And I'm making time for a meeting with God in my life. You do it any way you want. And he wasn't too happy with me that day, I don't think, and I didn't see him for a while. And then afterwards, I saw him many months later, and when he came down to talk to me, his countenance was different. He felt different. His conversation was different. And he invited Lynn and me. He and his wife invited Lynn and me to go over to their house for dinner. So we accepted. He lived right in the area. And so we go over to their house, and as we're kind of just having some appetizers beforehand, he takes me over to a rocking chair. And he says, you know how you challenged me to have a meeting with God and to just to make the time? He said, I love rocking chairs, so I bought a good one. And you said that maybe if you're going to make this repeatable and enjoyable, you should look at some scene or vista that you enjoy looking at. And he said, I've got a little backyard here, and I love looking over the backyard. So he said, I just bought this chair, and I put it at my favorite window where I can overlook the backyard. And he said, I got up a half hour earlier, 15, 20 minutes, half hour earlier each day, the last several months. I sit in the chair, I have a cup of coffee, and he goes, I read God's word, I try to make sense of it, I ask him to speak to me by his word, then I meditate on it, reflect it, apply it to my life. Then he said, I write some thoughts down in a journal and I pray that I will be more aware of his presence in my life. And I said, how's that going for you? And his wife jumped in and said, I'll tell you how it's going for him. He's a changed guy. What happens to him when he sits in that chair has changed him. He's more centered. He's a more gentle and loving man in our marriage and to our children. I was very impressed with this, that he could show me his chair, that he had taken the time, that he had fashioned a meeting with God that he looked forward to, because he liked the chair, he liked the view, he liked the coffee, he was a morning guy, and he fell into this pattern. Many months later, I had coffee with him one time, and he said, I'm thinking about leaving my job in advertising. He said, I think I'm done with that. I said, where'd you get these ideas? And he said, well, in my meetings with God in the chair. He's been putting those thoughts in my mind. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, maybe I'll just help you build the church. I said, well, no one's getting paid around here, you know. And he said, well, I've done pretty well in advertising. I can hold on for a while, and maybe if the church grows, you know, then maybe they can help me and my family in some way. And I said, well, you better go back to that chair and see if God's really in this, because I don't want to take responsibility for your life and all this. And he said, okay, I will, and came back about a month later, and he said, you know, I gave notice at work, and if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to help you start building the church. You pay me what you can, but it's not a concern of mine. And this guy joined our staff, and I'm telling you, he was a hardworking, energized, joyful, industrious individual that really, really helped our church and was on our staff for many, many years. One of the best staff members in the early days of the church. Then one day he comes into my office and he said, you know, I still do that meeting with God in that chair, that rocking chair. And he said, God's been stirring in my life in my meetings with God. And he said, a friend of mine starting a brand new church in Colorado, and I think I'm going to pack my family up and move to Colorado. I said, can they support you? He said, no, I'm going to have to go back into the marketplace and make some money because they can't afford anything. And I said, are you ready to do that? And he said, you know, every morning I talk to God about it. And he said, I'm really fired up about it. So we said goodbye to him, and he packed his family up, and he went out, and he went back into advertising, made a lot of money, and gave most of it to the startup church. And it became a fantastic church. And then in that same chair that he moved out to Colorado, sitting at a window in the morning like he had done for many, many years now, he processed a bad medical report he got from the doctor that cancer had come his way. And he kept working and he kept supporting that church. And he got sicker and sicker. It was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. And then he was hospitalized. And one of the great losses he felt when he was in the hospital is that he didn't have his chair. And he died quite soon thereafter, and I did his funeral in Colorado. And I was talking to his widow, his wife, at the funeral reception afterwards. I said, that was something about that chair, wasn't it? She said, his whole life changed in that chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, we are going to pass that chair on to our children and on to our grandchildren in the hopes that someone would sit in it like Tom did and have their life transformed. Simple question, gang. Where's your chair? Where do you meet with God? Where do you reflect on his word and open yourself to his power? Where do you become aware of his presence in your life? Where is that? And some of you go, well, you know, I mean, I don't have a nice backyard to look out on. It doesn't work for me. The thing about the unlimited presence of God is that you can meet with him anywhere. Your chair can be anywhere. When we first started, Lynn and I first started taking our summer study breaks in South Haven, that little town on the other side, we rented a one-bedroom cottage in the summer times. And so it was chaos with two kids in that cottage. So I would leave and I would go to the Burger King in the morning for 30, 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. First booth on the right when you come in the door, Main Street in South Haven. I did that little practice for 9 years. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. I made some of the most important ministry and personal decisions in my life. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. To this day, when I drive by that Burger King, I look at it and I go, man, God met me there. There's a carpenter in this church that meets with God every morning in the front seat of his pickup truck, brings a thermos of coffee and his Bible. Half hour before the construction starts, he just sits in the front seat of his pickup truck, absorbs the word of God, meets with God, surrenders himself with God, to God, asks for direction in his life. A young mom that I know goes to Starbucks whenever she can. Corner table, meets with God. Where's your chair? When you meet with a friend, let's say for a lunch, what happens is, if you've connected with that friend, after you leave the restaurant or wherever it is, you think about that friend later on in the afternoon. When you meet with God, you think about him more throughout the course of your day. His presence lingers after the meeting. Where's your chair?
Okay. So I know that everyone has like different ways and things that work for them in terms of time with God. But maybe this is something that you might feel you need to make a bit more time for in your day. It's just time to sit, read the Bible, hear from God. I use an app called First Five, which I find really useful. So that goes through a different Bible study, and every day it takes a different chapter from a book in the Bible, and there's a little commentary on it. I find that really helpful. Okay, the next thing that Bill Hybels suggests that we prioritise on the calendar is time with family. So having taken a step back, thinking about, you know, who does God want us to become, how can we best make the most of our opportunity, and then putting in that time to meet with God. Bill Hybels was saying that for him, you know, he got to the point where he realised he was going out for meetings for church every night, and his children would just be like, "Oh, you're going again." So he began to actually write on the calendar that family time as well, which was so important. And then the fourth thing, this is something that I've added in, that wasn't on the original list, but I think also time with non-Christians is very important, that we're making sure we've got things, either hobbies that we're doing, or ways of spending time with people that we know, our neighbours, or people that we work with. And I remember Claire doing a great talk about hospitality a while ago, and how, you know, getting families around for dinners and things like that is a great way of sharing our lives with non-Christians, and like imitating Christ as well. And then the next point is satisfying work. So Dom, as part of this series, has already covered satisfying work. And if you've not had a chance to listen to his talk with Elaine's great contribution in there as well, then I'd recommend that. That was really good. I know from my own experience of I'm a teacher, and I've worked in some schools that have been really, really difficult, and it feels like a difficult atmosphere to be in. And when you get home, you just feel so drained and tired. You've not really got that much left to go out in the evenings and do things as well. But my, I'm so blessed with where I'm working now. It's such a lovely place to be. And I can see the difference in myself, in my energy levels, that although, you know, you get tired from just the day-to-day stuff, it's not the same kind of tiredness at all. So, yeah, I think satisfying work is a good one to look back at if you've not listened to Dom's talk. So next up is then thinking about hobbies. Maybe you feel that, you know, there's something you're interested in that you'd like to begin doing, or I know there's lots of people who are quite crafty and creative, like Christine and her little group that do the knitting and the crochet as well. And it's just a way of, I think, of replenishing yourself. And talking to Christine, she'll say how, you know, she'll be praying while she's knitting. So it's kind of God time as well as a hobby time, but also a way to connect with non-Christians as well. Owen and I do quite a lot of dog showing now with Jaffa, one of our dogs, and that's quite an interesting group of people to mix with. And we think we're probably the only Christians with the group of people who own the same kind of dogs as us. So that's brought up some really interesting conversations. And there's been one or two times where people have felt Jaffa should have been higher up in the ranking. And they've been like, "Owen, you're too good a Christian. If that was me, I would have done this, this, and this." So that's quite interesting, seeing how they respond to a different approach. Yeah. And then last on the list, I have to admit, this isn't on my calendar. I need to put it on, is exercise. So making sure not only that we're taking care of ourselves spiritually, but physically as well. Okay. So I'm going to finish with just a recap of some of the questions, really, that Bill Hybel has in his book. And then you'll find on your seats there's weekly schedules. So if you want to have a think through these questions, and maybe you need to put in some chair time on there for this next week, maybe thinking about the bigger question of what would it look like if God was in charge, or how God would have you spend your time today or this week, who you think God would like you to spend your time with. And reflecting back on last week's talk as well about giving God our boat, how we can do that practically with our time. and who we want to become in the next season of our lives as well. So I'll give you a bit of time now if you want to grab a pen, there's some here, or if you'd like a really big version to write on because you've got lots of ideas, come and help yourself to one of these. So that's pretty much the end of what I've got to say. So I'll give you some time now to have a look through those questions.